Let him sue us.
Closing main breaker.
Gonna be a psych out there, really.
And he tell him, man.
Yeah.
We tried to get Jimmy. It's Sunday, and then we tried to Skype him in today, and man, it just wasn't working.
No. Third world communications are
still
all
third
bad.
World.
Yeah. So
we have a little special treat for you, though, Curtis. You want to set this up for him?
Sure. I'll tell you what happened was. It turns out I won a little contest, and I got to do a live radio show with Real Radio.
How many watts was that station?
It was 200,000 or something. Big stick. Yeah, I mean, I had it's a power. So
7.3 Sky FM or something.
Yep, local Ocala, Gainesville, Ocala station here in Florida.
So you won this thing, right?
Yep.
What'd you have to do to win it?
I did little rants for them, basically.
Like, what, every day, every week or something?
One a week. One four of them, I guess.
In a row?
Yep. And
so I could do your show last Saturday?
Yep.
Yeah, you get some callers?
Yeah. Had about 30 callers.
Wow.
Which you'll hear. We're going to play this show here for you. And sorry, it's not the Jimmy Doan show, but it's something anyway. It's all about immigration. And you'll hear some of the questions people ask me are still pertinent today. Everybody's still talking about this issue. And you'll hear my side, which I think is the libertarian side. And
we'll be back with Jimmy on next Sunday.
Yeah. Jimmy, we are taping a show this coming Sunday, which is, what date is that?
I have no idea.
It's coming up.
But anyway, we're going to roll this show for you, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And if you feel like it, call the station and tell them you want to hear Curtis, Counselor Curtis, back on there again.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Sorry for the long delay between the shows, but we'll get you a Jimmy show as soon as possible.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Barely need an American doing that job. And I know that's going to get some people riled up, but it's the truth. You don't want to keep your job just because you're an American, do you? You want to keep it because it's valuable, because you're valuable, because you add value to the community. And that's what immigrants do. So we need more of them in here. That's our default position. So give us a call here. I'll be happy to defend that position with you. Also about security, I'll tell you why it would be more secure for us to have a more open immigration policy. And the bottom line is, with more people in here on our side, we'd have a greater population on our side. Also, with more open immigration, we could have more people coming in through the open doors and fewer people to monitor coming in illegally. So give us a call here. Looks like we got a caller here. Looks like I'm going to take Jeffrey here. Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hey, Curtis, enjoying the show. I agree with you that on immigration, it's good to have the melting pot, so to speak, but the biggest issue with me is the illegal immigration. And if people aren't going to play by those rules of getting in here legally, what makes us think they're going to play by the other rules in our society?
Good question.
Thank you very much.
I'll tell you what the answer is. It's a very good question, and there's a very simple answer. The bottom line is there are some laws out there which should not be in existence. And what we do, sometimes we hold those laws up against the Constitution and we nullify them. Okay, they're bad laws. Okay, we don't want people to blindly follow bad laws. Okay, we do want people to follow the law, but we want people to try to change policy. Okay, and if we have a more open immigration policy, then a lot of these people who are considered illegal now would be considered legal under the new policy. Therefore, we should grant the people who are here illegally now amnesty. Let them be. Just give them an open card. Here you go. You're here. You're working. Come on in. Now, you might say, well, that disrespects the law. It disrespects the law. Well, the bottom line is it's a bad law. If they were here legally, then if they're here illegally, then it's not really a big bad deal because they haven't broken a big bad law. Okay? So hope that answers your question, Jeffrey. Again, I'm going to give out the phone numbers real quick here. Gainesville 380-0973. Ocala 369-6973. We can also talk about, if you like, the situation in France right now. Looks like the French are still out in the streets protesting the fact that they can be fired after merely 2 years on the job. It's amazing what they expect to get handed. The bottom line is that your constitution should not guarantee you a job. And I'd be happy to defend that position. Here are some things that the French have recently asked for. Naps while they're at work. Fresh coffee in the workplace. And for all workers, parking spot up front and better than average pay. So think about those for a second. Give us a call here at the Sky, WSKY 97.3. Let's go to Jerry.
Oh.
Jerry, hello, you're on there.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment about this immigration thing.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, if you take and give all these people amnesty, only thing you've done is rewarded bad behavior. I think it's absurd to even consider that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you for your comment. You're absolutely right. We are rewarding the bad behavior. The question you have to ask yourself is, how bad is it? We certainly want people to respect the law. But, for example, think about this. If they pass a law tomorrow that was just ridiculous, that said something like, you know, if you throw chewing gum on the ground, you get 10 years to life. Okay, so then a whole bunch of people get arrested. And then somebody wakes up and says, you know what, we need to repeal that law. We can't have that law. And then somebody comes forward, like this gentleman just called, and says, hey, look, all those people broke the law. We want to hold them accountable, don't we? Well, no, it was a bad law. We're going to go ahead and let them off. Okay, we're going to go to Juan. Juan, you are on the air.
Hello, Curtis. Just really quickly, you're doing a decent job.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations. Really quickly, you had mentioned earlier about providing amnesty for all the illegals who are currently here, who then would be legal.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if you considered that this may be a slap in the face to those of us whose parents and grandparents and et cetera had come to this country, in some cases via the military, to do it legally.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't say that it's a slap necessarily. I mean, the idea is, it's certainly unfortunate that you all had to go through extra effort and jump through the hoops to make yourselves legal, and we applaud that. And you have certainly reaped some benefit, hopefully, from having been here.
Well, being born American, yeah, absolutely.
Right. And so, you know, hopefully you can hold that up as, you know, something that you got. I mean, you're right. It's unfair. I mean, you had to do some extra work, but we shouldn't keep the law in place to make them do the extra work just because you had to, should we?
Well, I mean, to just go around arbitrarily rewriting laws just because you consider them bad without even quantifying as to why they're bad, I just think it just seems a little superfluous to me.
Well, I can tell you why they're bad, in my opinion, and The bottom line is this country is a nation of immigrants, and we benefit from having immigrants here. If you, our Statue of Liberty says, give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, learning to be free, your wretched refuse from your teeming shore, these, the tempest-tossed, homeless.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of familiar with the Statue of
Liberty. Okay, sorry, I don't mean to preach to you.
However, I think there's no mention as to whether or not, there isn't any mention on the means by which to accomplish this. I mean, I doubt that it was free-for-all what people had in mind. Because essentially, and please correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying is an open-door policy irrespective of which country you're coming from, and granting asylum to the people who are currently here now illegally.
Right.
It just seems that again, this is just a bit of a lofty kind of idealized notion as opposed to something very practical or even just.
Well, I'm not sure why you consider it unjust. I think it's practical. It's worked in the past.
In which case?
Well, in all cases. And we've had waves of immigrants come to this country for decades. How about the wave of immigrants in the first part of the last century? Or the wave of immigrants in the late 1860s.
We never granted them amnesty, at least in my recollection.
Well, we're all here now. I mean, all their kids are here now. We're all them, basically.
So you think that I'm sorry, you just kind of threw me. I was kind of raised to believe that I was my own individual without necessarily owing anything to anybody else, much less those who came before me in search of a better life.
Well, you don't owe them anything, but the bottom line is that they have the right to come here just like your ancestors had the right to come here, and now you're an American, and soon they will be also. So hopefully so. We're going to take another call here from Gordon.
Hey, this Gordon. Is Gordon.
Go ahead, sir.
You know, I just listened to what this gentleman said about justice.
Uh-huh.
What if somebody walked in, snuck into your radio station and pushed you out of your chair and said, I'm going to do this job better and cheaper? What do you think that would happen? You think, would you call the police on him?
Absolutely, sir. I'd call the police. And the
okay,
reasons...
we're talking about the same kind of situation. We're talking about illegal people that, in other words, why are they here illegally?
I'll tell you. Not exactly the same situation. All right, the bottom line is this. If somebody comes into my office here and deposes me out of the chair, they're doing it by force, and they should be arrested and charged with battery. Okay, but if somebody comes into the office and says, hey, man, I can do a better job than that guy over there, and they listen to him, and they say, yup, sure enough, you do a better job. They turn to me, and they say, you know, Curtis, it's been nice having you here, but this other guy can do a better job, then he can have the job. I don't want them to turn to me and say, Curtis, you're doing a fine job. We're going to keep you on here, even though there's somebody else who could do it better, just because you're an American, okay? We're going to go to Marie. Marie, you are on the air. Marie, you are not on the air. Marie, you are on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hey, Marie, go ahead.
Okay, I would like to talk a little bit about the immigration law.
Sure.
I think it would something should be done to help the people that are trying to get in here legally.
Uh-huh.
I've been fighting the system for 19, 20 years. Finally, I'm a permit.
You're breaking up a little bit, Marie. Can you improve your signal at all?
Yes. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know which part you could hear. But
you said you wanted to improve the ability of immigrants to be here legally, and well, I agree with you.
For the ones that are trying to get here legally.
Right.
I've been trying to get here to be legal for 19, 20 years.
Where are you coming from?
My permanent residence. And it cost me, through the lawyer, $7,000.
Wow,
but,
$7,000.
But for 20 years, I tried. And finally, it went through. So something
congratulations.
Thank you. Something should be changed about the people that really would like to.
You could have paid that $7,000 as an admission price, couldn't you? And then just be done with it without all having to go through the legal fees, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. So, the people that are really trying.
Right.
Go through the legal way to get to be legal.
I agree with you. Marie, just out of curiosity, where'd you come from?
From Europe.
From what part?
Scandinavia.
From what part?
Sweden.
Sweden. Ja förstår svenska, men jag försöker.
Yes, jag talar svenska.
Ah, excellent. All right, Marie, thank you for your call. We're going to go now to Robert.
Robert?
No, he's off of there, it looks like. Maybe Robert?
877, let's go to Jim.
Jim, let's go to Jim.
Hey, Curtis.
Hey, Jim.
Congratulations on your win.
Thank you, sir.
I'd like to modify your plan a little bit because everything needs a conditioner, and the condition would be that if these people don't come and register, then they need to be immediately deported. The other thing is to answer one of the major critics. The reason is just like you said, that they're coming in illegally. It's just too hard to come in legally. But they've only got 200,000 quota a year for Mexicans.
Exactly.
And that's got to change. And
right.
Regardless of what the bureaucracy says, we've got a case here where the tail's wagging the dog with the bureaucracy.
Yep. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your call.
Yeah, man.
And he's right. If we were letting people come in through the open door, what I would saying here is that we would have them go through a background check. That is to say, you basically have them walk down a long hallway or sit on a long conveyor belt. You take a whole bunch of pictures of them, get their fingerprints, retina scan, everything. If they're terrorists or likely to become terrorists, then you screen them out. If they're not, if they're just average people coming over to get a job, you let them in. It's going to bring a lot more people in through the front door and free up a lot more resources from the people that we've got taking people back across the border twice a day. Also, it's going to cut down on smuggling a whole bunch. If these people are willing to come in through the front door, there's not going to be a whole bunch of wolves out there, or coyotes, or whatever they call them. So that's going to help us out as well. Also, we're going to go to EJ here. EJ, you are live.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, I just want to say, great job so far. I don't know what you got, but let's hear it. I have a question or a statement, and I'll let you off the hook, and I'll take it off the air. But it's, if you suggest that allowing anybody who wants to enter this country amnesty to do so, I think you're talking about a number of people hitting our shores, maybe half as great as our population or more. In a very short period of time. And, you know, you talk about that population, even just Mexico, which is 106 million people, 40% of them or more have suggested they'd leave Mexico at the drop of a sombrero if they could get here.
My question would be to you is so what? I mean, let's say that 50 million Mexicans show up in the next 50 years, and then another 50 million immigrants from all over the place. So our population now is about 300 million, so it goes to 400 million. And
then to 500 million, then to 600 million.
Okay, well, once we get out past about 40 or 50 years, I don't think we can continue to make accurate predictions about the future. There's just too many variables going into that. But in terms of just things about population, just if you were to imagine the future right now and there to be an extra 50 million people here, what's the problem? I mean, we get cheaper goods. The labor's going to get absorbed. Americans are going to get new jobs, better jobs, the ones that are here, that is to say, and we'll be better off. We'll be a stronger country in number and in intellectual capacity. You know, where's the downside? I mean,
that's to assume that the intellect that's joining us is worth having. I think there's probably more than a couple people out there that would come, that it would be in our best interest they not be here at all.
Well, I think that any time that you get any people, and thank you, EJ, for your call, any time that you get any people coming in that they add value in some way. If they're going to work, unless they're going to starve to death, they're going to add value. So we have Stuart. Stuart, you are alive. Or Sharon, I said.
Stuart.
Oh. Stuart.
What do we got here?
Yeah, now we have Stuart, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Stuart, you are live. WSKY. What do you have to say, sir?
All right. So you're the winner of the contest, huh?
That's correct.
All right. Well, I'm of the opinion that if a person is snuck into this country without government sanction, our government being sanctioning it, you're trespassing. You're not an immigrant, you're a trespasser.
Right.
In our country's past, the immigrants were run through central processing, that would be Ellis Island. And so there should be no trespassing in this country.
Well, there's not.
What's illegal immigration?
Well, I mean, of course, there is from that perspective. What I mean is it's not allowed. That's why it's illegal.
Yeah. So all those that are here trespassing should not be given amnesty.
Just because they're
should
because
be
it's illegal that they're here.
Line, mm-hmm. And let those who are processing legally in. I don't care if you've squatted out and popped out a baby here or not.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that we should have... do you think that if those people had all taken the legal way to get here, that they would then deserve to stay?
If they took the legal way,
right,
and were cleared, given their medical certificates, they're not coming in with TB,
right?
Yeah, then they have access to our country.
So it's okay that they're here. You just don't like the way they got here.
No, it's not okay that they're here. If they're here trespassing, it's not okay.
But what I'm saying is that you don't mind that if they were here legally, that they be here. You just object to the way that they got here.
Yes, I object to trespassing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your comment.
Thanks.
And I will talk more about it after this break. Thanks for your calls. This is WSKY-FM.
Go Gators! A message of support from News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
Good afternoon, everybody. We are back here live at WSKY 93.7 FM News Talk. This is Curtis Elmore, and we are taking your calls about immigration and all sorts of stuff. Here we have Sharon on the line. Sharon, go ahead.
Yes, Curtis. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
I'm calling about the immigration, too, Curtis. And I had heard you say that you thought we should have an open-door policy.
Yes, ma'am.
And I disagree with you.
Okay.
I agree with what the last man said, that, you know, if they want to do things legally, we have to be legal in our own country.
Mm-hmm.
We have to follow the laws, or mm-hmm. we are punished.
Right.
Well, I feel if people want to come to our country, they need to follow the laws.
Okay.
Because if I went to France or Germany or Russia and I snuck in and I got caught, what do you think would happen to me or to you?
Well, it's certainly bad, and we certainly have the same situation right now. And I'm not advocating that we would get rid of all restrictions. That is to say, there would still be some restrictions on people coming in here, and therefore there would be some people who would try to get in illegally, and they would have to be dealt with. What I'm going to ask you the same question I asked the last person, though. If those people had all gotten here by legitimate means, do you object to their being here in general?
No, it's not that. It's
okay,
the
so
way
it's,
they're doing it.
Okay,
and
so it's just the way they got
that,
here.
If I did that, if I did something like that in my own country or did something against the laws, I truly would be punished.
Right.
And I think, you know, if they're going to come in illegally, then they need to either ship them back or whatever it takes, because it's not fair.
What about
to
pay
every
a big
American
tax or
here.
Something? What about pay a big fine or something?
Well, I think one of the problems is the big companies that are taking them and either paying them under the table and or paying a lesser wage. Why should they be allowed to pay lesser wages to people coming in illegally when we have a standard wage set?
Well, that
they should have to pay that.
Well, on that, I'm going to have to contest you on that. The bottom line is the economy has to grow. And one of the ways that it grows is by employers hiring employers to do the same job less expensively. Okay? That's one of the ways that we expand, that wealth gets created in this world. And so, you know, that's important that we continue that process.
And how much wage they have to pay. I had a business, I couldn't have somebody working for me and pay them $2 an hour.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Did you hear what I just said, Sharon? I cut you off for a second there, and I made a little explanation. Did you hear that part, or is your radio turned down?
Oh, my radio's turned way down. I can't even hear it.
All right.
I did miss part of what you said.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, nobody should be paying less than the minimum wage to anybody. I don't care who it is.
Well,
because
let me ask you
I
this.
If I had a company and I paid somebody less wage and they found out I did it, they would be after me in a heartbeat.
Right, right.
And so why should these companies get away with paying less wage to Mexicans that are coming in, or anybody else is coming in and getting less wage illegally? And you know they're making the money, because we've got a lot of them right in our own area, and they're sending their money back to Mexico.
Well, the bottom line is that I think that they add value to the community here. And, you know, I appreciate what you say, but I'm just not buying it 100%. We're going to go to Otis here. Otis, you are live. Otis, are you there? Otis might not be there. Let's try Jerry. Jerry, are you there?
Hello.
Hey, Jerry.
Yes.
You have a comment.
Yeah, I find your opinions interesting. However, I disagree.
Okay. Elaborate.
My grandparents came here in 1912.
Uh-huh. All of them?
On a boat through Ellis Island.
Mine too.
All four. paternal and maternal.
All four. Just half of mine.
They became American citizens.
Uh-huh.
They learned English.
Okay.
They supported themselves.
Uh-huh.
They paid taxes. They paid for their own children and their own home and all the rest of it.
I'm all good with that.
And now we have Mexicans who come north, and they want to make California, Arizona, New Mexico. Northern Mexico, they don't want to merge into the population, learn English, and do all this stuff. They want that section of the country to become Northern Mexico. That's wrong. And they're very adamant about it. They don't even try to hide it. The people organizing, the picketers and all that, that's what they said.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with you on that. The bottom line is this. A lot of times, immigrants come to this country, assimilate very well in their own generation. What happens is their kids assimilate. Their kids grow up and are American. And you can say that they're going to come into Southeast Arizona or wherever and set up their own little Mexico or whatever. But the bottom line is the only reason they're coming here is for the jobs. Now, the only way to get the jobs is to go to already established communities and to intermingle with Americans. You have to work with them in order to take the money, in order to get the money. So you become Americanized by virtue of your being here. And if you don't, your kids definitely do, and your grandkids definitely do. And Jerry, you sounded like a full-blooded American to me, and your grandparents have been here, 100 years ago. So you can see how the transition works. All right, we're going to go to Otis online. Otis now, is that you, sir?
Yeah, that's me.
Otis, my man.
I broke up a while ago. I think it's going to create a gateway for more to come over here illegally.
What do you mean illegally?
Even if they get here legal,
uh-huh.
Okay, so their brothers, their cousins, and stuff are going to be coming. It's going to create a gateway.
Okay, so what?
To be able to get over here across the border without having to hitchhike through a damn truck or something, you know?
Well, what's wrong with that? Why do you object to them coming over?
Because they're taking jobs. I mean, whenever I was like 14 or whatever, I'd be working in the fields doing watermelons.
Uh-huh.
But then I don't know, about 2 years later, whatever, they started coming over here. And the teenagers, like, that can't really get a full-time job or whatever, that can work in the fields, they can't get them jobs no more.
Well, I mean, that's true. But, I mean, you have to realize that jobs like that are going to be replaced by people who are willing to work cheap and by machines, stuff like that. I mean, the bottom line is, as an American, you have a right to continually improve your education and your ability to add value to society. And, I mean, sometimes you got to give up your job because somebody else is willing to do it better or cheaper than you are,
I mean, the kids ain't going to be doing watermelons forever. I know that.
Right.
I mean, it gives them somewhere to start at.
Well, that's true, but these people need somewhere to start, too. I appreciate you, Kelsey.
Yeah, start in Mexico. I mean, they come over here making our money, then sending it back to their people. The money ain't going to be floating around America forever when they keep doing that.
Well, that creates a deflation that we like to. But anyway, I'm going to go now, and I'll come back right after the break. 97.3 WSKY News Talk.
Don't be cruel, too hard.
Hey, we are back. This is Curtis Elmore. You're listening to News Talk 97.3 The Sky. We are taking calls on immigration and anything else you want to talk about. We have Mark on the line. Go ahead, Mark.
How are you?
Good. How about yourself, sir?
Oh, not too bad. Question for you. I remember years ago when Cubans were coming over in boats, if they were able to hit the shore, they were able to stay, and they didn't get sent back.
Right.
As long as they... What's the difference between the Cubans and the Mexicans? So when the Mexicans make it to our land, why are they immediately sent back when the Cubans aren't?
Good point. Thank you very much. The bottom line is there's no difference. They just made up the policy, and it's a different policy, and the Cubans still enjoy that policy. They make it here. It's called the dry foot or the wet foot policy. As soon as they get on shore, it's a done deal, and that's the way it ought to be. I mean, those people take tremendous risks. Can you imagine floating over here on a pool raft or something? I mean, you got to have some courage to do that. As far as I'm concerned, if you're going to do that, you know, we'll take you. All right, we got Dan on line two. Go ahead, Dan. Dan, is that you? Dan the man, are you there? Yep, Dan, who is it?
No, I bet. Are you talking
to
me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you, yes.
Well, it's not Dan, it's Jane. I'm your mom, actually. Kurt.
Hey, oh, how about that? That was a setup.
I'm sorry, you were talking to me, but I wanted to just make a point because I missed some of this broadcast, so I don't know what you have talked about. But I wondered if you had actually talked about taking the benefits away from the illegals who are here and let them fend for themselves like the old immigrants used to do.
Good point. Good point. Thank you very much, Mom. I appreciate your call. The bottom line is that we could easily have a disqualification of benefits upon their arrival here at the border. And it wouldn't be very cruel because if you think about it, you get advance notice. You know, it's not like we're going into the neighborhood and saying, hey, well, I guess it could be that way for the amnesty people. You could be taking away their benefits, but I don't see any problem with having a little DQ, a little 5 or 10 year disqualification as soon as you show up at the border. And then, you know, you get to make it if you can make it, and if you can't, then you go home. So, all right, we're going to have Gordon. Gordon, go ahead.
Hey, I want to bring up the issue about speaking Spanish in the U.S.
Okay.
I didn't get a job where I work because the guy that's in that department doesn't speak English very well, and I was supposed to get that promotion, and I didn't because I couldn't talk to this guy. So they gave the job to one of the other guys I worked with who could communicate with him.
Okay.
I don't think that's a fair policy. I don't think it's fair that people should,
what kind
when
of
they
job
apply
were you
for
in,
a job here in the state of Florida, I don't think they should be at a disadvantage if they don't know Spanish. And I want to get some political momentum going on this. I think that we need to protect our national language here as the English language and not penalize people who don't speak a foreign language in here just trying to get a regular job in a regular town.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. What kind of job was it?
I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Let me comment on that. I would say, and I would agree with everybody, that English is our language, and you got to learn English. When you come over here, you have to learn English. I would not be publishing government documents in Spanish and stop signs in Spanish and stuff like that. As far as I'm concerned, we have one language. It costs enough to put out all the information in that language, so you have to learn it. Now, this gentleman just called in, though. Unfortunately, I'm going to have to disagree. If there's a communication skill that's needed for the job, even if it's Spanish, if it's a foreign language of any kind, whether it's a computer language, I don't care what it is. The bottom line is if they need you to communicate with this person in Spanish, then that's what you have to do to get the job done. And so, you know, you better learn the language. And, you know, yo hablo español, es importante en, you know, Florida hoy. So I speak Spanish. Now we're gonna go with Don. Don, you're live.
Hey, I'm all for diversity, and I'm all for, you know, opening up and being available for everybody. The problem is that what about the 25% that's taking up the prisons that are illegal aliens? I mean, we're just fronting them left and right.
It's true that there is a disproportionately high number of poor people in our prisons. I would argue that that those people are disproportionately targeted, not on purpose, but by accident. That is to say, the poor people get a lot of the focus of law enforcement, and therefore there's going to be a larger percentage of them in there. Also, they are willing to engage in business practices which subject them to jail time and things like that. So, you know, for example, drug trade and things like that. So, You know, again, there are some economic factors at work there which pin them in there. Does that answer your question?
I just don't think it's, I mean, as far as if they come in legally and as long as they hold a job, I'm great with that. But I personally believe that if they're coming in here and they're trying to live off of us and trying to use the system that is being supplied by the people that have lived here for years and their families lived here for years and put into their programs, then I don't think it's right they should come over here, sneak over here illegally, because already that tells you that they have no respect for our laws.
And then get a free ride once they get here.
And then get a free ride on top of it.
Right, right. Well, I can agree with you on the free ride part. And so let's go to Robert. Robert, you are live. Oops, sorry. Hey, wait. Robert, you are live. Robert, are you there? Roberto, maybe not. Let's try Dave. Dave, are you there?
Hey, Curtis.
Hey, how you doing? Thank you, sir.
Hey, listen, to me, the true case of the immigrants, I don't hear it. Okay, I hear...
Can you be more specific? What do you mean by that?
The NAFTA was signed in 1993. NAFTA and later CAFTA was said to enrich the lives of the indigenous people around the world.
Right.
Now, the truth is, the world working class has been squeezed out of their native lands. Their native lands, that's who we see. Corporate power now uses their fertile lands, their water, and pays them little to workers. They're driven out. You know, at home, since 1993, with the new auto deal, we got 910,000, almost 1 million high-wage manufacturing jobs have been lost in the U.S. The American people are feeling income inequality, loss of a certain way of life. With economic refugees between 12 to 20 million in the U.S., we are just striking out at just what group is available. Now, the New World Order is the problem. CAFTA.
I'm going to cut you.
The same issue.
Can you summarize that, like, in like a, what are you trying to say exactly?
Okay, like your belief that we can work our wealth and grow the gross national product. Our American farmers are going under no matter what, because mega corporations, world corporations, own Washington, D.C. You can't compete against a mega court that has got free money, free cash, no taxes, and you're the poor American working farmer going broke.
Why do you want to compete against them?
I'm just saying a traditional American breadbasket is going bust because we got a new world order since 1993. And these Mexicans...
Since the NAFTA-CAFTA thing. So you say that the trade freedom there is draining our country of jobs, and it's also and it's hurting us overall. That's what your point is, right?
And the indigenous people in their own lands can no longer live there because they are pushed out. That's who we see coming across the border.
Well, I mean, you got to forgive me if I point out that it seems a little contradictory. Either our jobs are going there or they're coming here. I mean, which is it, you know?
Mateo.
So we got Mateo.
Hey.
Mateo.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing very good, man. How
Excellent.
About yourself?
Very, very good, sir.
Excellent. I had a comment about your amnesty. I think I'm going to follow with that. I think it's a very good idea. But I would expand it, you know? And besides expanding the amnesty to include all crimes, all criminals, give me pick a day. One day, say, April 16th. And everybody, for whatever crime they've ever committed, receives amnesty. And we start with a clean slate on April 16th, that day. But from that day forward, you have to follow the law.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one there. good laws are good laws, and we're going to keep enforcing them. And bad laws are bad, and we should get on with repealing them and letting the people not have to pay for it. All right, thanks for your calls. This is Curtis Elmore, WSKY. We'll be back in just a minute. All right, this is the last chance here to talk to Curtis Elmore. You're listening to News Talk 97.3 FM. And we're talking about anything. Here we got one more guy here. Let's look at Frank. Frank, you are live.
How are you doing, Curtis?
Good. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing okay, man. I just want to say something about this immigration thing.
Go ahead.
You know, this land is the home of all immigrants.
Right.
Regardless.
Yep.
Okay. And, but all those immigrants had to follow certain procedures and standards to come into this country to survive and live in this country and to make this their home of dreams and whatever else.
Most of them, yep.
And, you know, and I'm trying to, why don't we give them amnesty? Give them a day to come out. All of them get to, you know, tell them, you know, give them enough time to get their act together, come in, show who they are, show what they do, and show how they're going to help this country benefit. And the ones that come and do that get amnesty and become citizens of the United States.
I like it.
And set our new rules and standards up for the, from that day on for anybody else that wants to come in this country. And get rid of the ones that didn't come in and get that amnesty.
Frank, I'm with you, man. It's like I could have paid you to say exactly that. That's perfect.
Right.
Thank you very much, sir.
So we won't tell about the $100 you promised me later
yeah,
on.
Yeah, right. Frank, my good buddy Frank, it's great for you to have called in. Take it easy, man. Yeah, I agree with Frank there. I gotta say, immigrants are a good thing. We should let them in here. I think it'll help us economically and for security purposes. And, you got one final chance here. If anybody, nope, maybe not. Okay, well, hey, thanks everybody for tuning in here. I really had a great time. Please check out Chip and PC on Drive Time Happy Hour. And if you had a good time, well, hey, call them and tell them about it, I guess. And go Gators. I hope we crush them tonight. The Final Four. News Talk, 97.3 FM.